You weren't a Bobby Knight fan, were you?
Oh,
no.
Can you not be familiar?
Yeah,
with
you. Yeah, I am. He was such a jerk, but I mean, he won. His team was good. They got good grades. He would grab people and shake them, though, which was bad.
I guess that was a little harsh, right?
All right. Is everybody ready?
Yes.
Yeah. Welcome back. This is RJ, and I'm with Amanda and John and Shannon, and we have Luis with us again to talk about the European roller. So do we want to give a little bit of background about why we picked the European roller first?
Sure. We picked the European roller because I've been sleuthing on eBird because our son just signed with a professional hockey team in Poprad, Slovakia. And so in the possibility that we get over there, I'd love to see some European birds. And we were talking about which ones we should pick and which ones we'd want to see. And European roller would be at the top of my list.
They're super cool looking.
He'll roll his eyes at us if we tell him to go outside and
look at He's not a bird.
Birds. No, when he was little, he said bird watching was boring and that we moved too slowly. And he hated being enclosed in a forest.
Oh.
He would run into a parking lot and grab a soccer ball and start playing.
Oh,
you know,
gosh.
You know. We raised a Flatlander, not someone who can tolerate mountains.
Do you think you'll go and try to visit him out there?
You know, I think if we have the opportunity, I certainly would. And again, like I said, there's lots of birds I'd like to see, and this is one of them. And I've done a lot of work in Africa over the years, and rollers are an interesting family of birds. Today, they're only found in the Old World, so Africa and Asia, and they even get to Australia. And yet the fossil record suggests that they also occurred in Wyoming back in the Eocene 40 million years ago. So,
oh, wow.
So they're an old group of birds. And European roller is really neat because I would say for the most part, people would say rollers are tropical birds. And I've always liked these sort of tropical birds that get up into particularly northern latitudes because that's where I've spent most of my time. And this is just a spectacularly beautiful bird that if you saw it fly off a wire to catch a wasp or some sort of flying insect, you'd definitely stop and notice it.
Mm.
And they're spectacular.
And so what is a roller then?
Yeah, why are they called
that?
That
has to do with their behavior, part of their display behaviors. They actually get in the air and they roll as they go down towards the ground. So, and it's pretty – I was hoping there would be more videos because I like to tell people where to go. But there actually aren't very many videos of rollers rolling. Why is that?
There are some species that I think do it more than others, maybe too. I think that's another aspect of it. But again, rollers have these incredible patterns of different types of blues in their tail and in their wing. And so it's, you know, something you, if it catches the sun the right way, it's incredible to see. And so European roller is, gets up into Southern Europe, and is not an uncommon bird particularly they like pine oak forests that they nest in. And in the non-breeding season, the entire population migrates in sometimes huge numbers through parts of northern Africa. And so it's just something that's hard to ignore. And I'd love to see more of them. I've seen them in the non-breeding season in Central Africa a few times.
Oh, wow.
Mm. They have leapfrog patterns of migration, so the northernmost ones winter in the southernmost locations, which is also pretty interesting. And they take a really long time to migrate, like 2 months to go up and down, which I found really interesting, too. I'm not sure why or what that means, but that's a pretty long time. And because migration is a really vulnerable time for birds, so to stop that many times as you go, it makes me wonder what their microbiome looks like, because I'm weird. like that. What happens to their microbiome while they're migrating, going to all these places, eating different foods?
Well, the one of the amazing things about particularly European populations of any of these birds is they have to make these interesting decisions about what to do in terms of dealing with the Sahara Desert. And so there are some populations that go around to the west and some populations that go through to the east. And you know, at the same time, these things are really good flyers. And so it sounds like some of them can literally fly across the Sahara successfully.
Yeah, think about that. That's a daunting experience. And if you look at other species of rollers, the European roller doesn't have tail streamers. But if you look at other species, they have really long, interesting, you know, parts of their tail feathers or central tail feathers. Mm. So really, and they're really, I love that color blue, that, I don't know, aquamarine. It's not teal, it's lighter than that, but the ocean can look like that in the Bahamas. Not that I've been to the Bahamas, but I've seen pictures. Mm.
And I just thought their migration, like, I was so fascinated because obviously I'm newer to birding and, you know, you get so fascinated with birds around that we see in the U.S. that to think that they're in South America, like, I never really thought about, like, oh, these European birds are down in Africa. Yeah. Like, I thought that was so fascinating that these birds, you know, you could see them in Europe and then a couple months prior they were down in southern Africa.
Right.
I thought that was just super fascinating.
And during migration, you could be at sites where 40,000 could go by in a day.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's just, to me, a really spectacular thing. I mean, there's the Middle East is well known for being a major passageway for lots of migrant birds. And you know, one of the things that's happened historically is the humans there have hunted those birds and eaten them for food. And they still do that with things like rollers and in countries like Oman and places like that. But at the same time, I mean, that's been going on for millennia. And you know, one of the interesting things about migration is it's a really hazardous thing. So, you know, at the same time, it's still worth it for these European rollers to go down to southern Africa, like you were just talking about, and then come back in the breeding season and find a good nesting site in Central Europe and raise their young.
Mm-hmm. But those are things that are vulnerable when climate change happens, right? How things are going to migrate, how hospitable even the inhospitable places like the Sahara seem. So eventually we'll get to the point of changing the environment to where other things have to change, like dramatically change. And my guess, you know, migration is going to be one of those things that is really going to dramatically change as we warm the earth.
Do we know how common they are in Slovakia? Like, are they?
So I've looked on eBird, and what I would say is one of the interesting things about Slovakia is it doesn't have a lot of eBirders.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the real thing I picked up from that, and so they definitely occur there. And so, but, you know, this is one of these things about birding, which I absolutely love, is that I've basically birded in Europe mostly between flights on various trips back and forth to Africa where we've had 6 hours in Amsterdam or something. And I would love to be in a situation where I could go across the European countryside just looking for birds like European rollers.
Yes.
So there's got to be more of them out there than a show up an eBird.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty small family of birds, Coracidae. There's only two genera, 13 species. So it's small. And they're nested in the Coraciformes. So that means they're related to kingfishers and other birds like that. So there's a lot of color in that order of birds, like every conceivable way you could make color. And I think they're amazing, all of the pretty colors. If you look at pictures that people have taken of this roller, you can see the vivid purple wing coverts. It's just spectacular.
Yeah, there's the sister family to them is something called the ground rollers. And that's an interesting name because these birds are all from Madagascar. Mm-hmm. And they're only, what, I think 4 or 5 species. And we have, because of field work done by a guy named Steve Goodman over the years in Madagascar, we had a really we had all the species except for one, and so we did a phylogeny of them using DNA sequencing years ago. And one of the things I've always loved about that paper is that there was a fossil from the mainland of from Europe, I think, that was called a ground roller. And when we got our tree, we were able to make an estimate of how old the ground rollers were relative to the rollers. And that suggested that there was no way that this fossil, well, this fossil actually predated the appearance of the rollers relative to the ground rollers, such that the fossil was almost certainly not a true ground roller. It just had some characteristics such that somebody described it as such. And we made a comment about that in the paper. And after it was published, we got a really great email from the leading paleontologist working on birds in Germany saying, yeah, you know, I've been thinking that there's no way that that fossil is a ground roller.
Wow.
I was like,
usually
yeah,
you get
cool.
messages like that, and you're like, I don't even want to. Someone's going to be criticizing you, and you don't want to know. But every once in a while, something really fun happens. Have you been to Europe very many times?
Yeah, I've been a handful of times. The last time I was there, I had just started studying starlings, and I went to Ireland and I saw starlings, and it was very exciting.
Oh, cool.
That's awesome.
But no European rollers.
You know, not that I recall.
So there you are, focused on a starling, not a European roller.
Classic.
Okay, Louise, your priorities are off.
Well, I was mostly in the city, so.
Mm-hmm. No, I was wondering the European roller is so pretty. Is it just the male that's so pretty?
No, both sexes are similar, and yeah. So it's. I mean, they're really fun birds to watch, and you'll see the pairs together, and they'll be going out sallying and catching insects and dropping on things like small lizards and stuff.
Wait very long periods of time before they go find like a grasshopper or beetle or whatever they're going to eat.
And one of the most iconic birds in East Africa is lilac-breasted roller, which has got this pinkish throat. Mm. And it's just a really common bird on the telephone wires as you're driving across parts of Kenya and
cool.
Tanzania.
So it has that aquamarine blue kind of color with this lilac throat with like white streaky things in it, just spectacularly pretty.
And these are not small birds either. So they're, I would say, they're the size of a mourning dove with these big heads. And so they're very distinctive looking when you get to see them. So they're like kingfishers, which are their relatives.
Cool. They're not related to purple martins at all, are they?
No.
I mean, we were looking at their faces, and we thought their face kind
so,
of...
Yeah, no, that's
purple
a shame.
Martins are songbirds, so they're more closely related to cardinals and things like that.
Okay.
And
okay.
These are outside of that. They're not what's called non-passerine birds, or not songbirds, basically.
Okay.
But it would be interesting to know, for instance, how the blues are made I presume it's all... I mean, not presume, but it's going to be all structural. But I wonder how many ways you can make.
Well, there are pigments inside of a lot of those feathers too. But yeah, there's lots of things that make iridescence, but there's not very many things that make purples and pinks and blues of that color. Mm-hmm. So
I just like it when there's a big bird like that. That, for instance, when they fly, their patterns are completely recognizable. Mm-hmm. And you start wondering, you know, why do birds have color patterns like that?
Right.
I assume it's to, you know, identify other individuals within the species.
Mm-hmm.
At a distance. But that's taking it a long ways when you look at the photographs of these things in flight with their wings spread like that.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, you really see it when their wings are spread, like the black or like the darker tips. It's really pretty amazing. There was a thing we saw about that the roller chicks will vomit orange
that,
liquid
that was
onto
like
itself.
A 2-hour trip down data lane at midnight last night because I didn't know that. And then, of course, I had to know what it was. Mm-hmm. So apparently they honestly do this. The if the babies are jostled, they will spew out this orange liquid that apparently both smells terrible and tastes terrible in a way that the whatever predator, not just that it deters the predator, but it warns the parents that a predator is around.
Oh, wow.
And so when these people, there's some really interesting studies that were published 2012 and on about characterizing the that vomit. But what the researchers did, because, you know, birds aren't thought to smell all that well unless you're a vulture. So, you know, how much really does smell influence the behavior of these birds? And so what they did was they took a tiny amount of the vomit on a nest and they either put lemon juice or that vomit to see, well, you know, it's going to smell different what happens. And it turns out it took the parent birds 27 minutes on average longer to come to the nest.
Oh, wow.
Because they had to be extra specially vigilant before they did it. So,
wow.
That,
so I'm
and they get the stuff from the grasshoppers that they're fed. The babies do. So the grasshoppers pick up the chemicals in the plants. Then the birds get it from the grasshoppers, and then they spew it to keep other things away. And the plants make these noxious things because they don't want to be eaten either.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess grasshoppers say they don't care. And they eat it anyway.
That's fascinating. So my question is that a one-shot deal? Like, can the chicks keep doing that over
yeah,
and over
they
again?
Yeah, they do. They vomit so all the time.
Yeah. And so, great.
I know, this is really gross. My mom always says my conversations are not fit for the dinner table. And this one really isn't. So, yeah, I mean, it's amazing that that happens. So read the next series of papers that these researchers did is they took the vomit and put it on dog food.
Oh.
And it turns out the dogs don't want anything
to
do with food that has a tiny bit of that stuff in it either. So it, you know, it's noxious across vertebrate classes, not just birds finding it noxious, but other predators do. Apparently, eventually, the dogs, if they got hungry enough, would eat it, but they did not. They turned their nose up at it right away. And I had to look up. I had to know what the chemicals were, so I had to look that up too. And they're sometimes called the vomit bird, which I think is hilarious.
And That's great.
Yeah, so they have two what they call deterrent chemicals, hydroxycinnamoic acid or cinnamic acid and hydroxybenzene acid. So that's what they get from the grasshoppers.
Wow.
And keep it in their stomach and make this noxious. I don't know why. I don't know where the orange comes from.
Oh, okay.
But maybe there are other things in grasshoppers that are orange or they feed them something else that's orange. I don't know. But
maybe,
it must be pretty dramatic.
Maybe green didn't work.
Oh, and it turned orange? Yeah.
Maybe I didn't look and see what color. Maybe that cinnamic acid, maybe that is like cinnamon or something. It has the
Well, that's something we could do a whole whole episode on, just talking about some of the just absolutely outrageous things that have evolved in terms of chicks trying to protect themselves from predators and things. There's some amazing.
Yeah. I don't remember. We talked about the Watson, how they jump in the water and then use their claws to like climb out.
Oh yeah.
And these
I want to learn more.
There's things about mouth linings where they're mimicking other species. These nest parasites, they lay eggs, and the parasite over evolutionary time has evolved the patterns in the mouth lining. So it's like an evolutionary arms race. You as one species make a whole bunch of – you want your mouth linings to be unique, but then the parasite comes after you and it mimics your your mouth linings, really cool. We should talk about them someday.
Yeah.
And I picked rollers because I always like to pick at least one thing that is different that most people haven't heard about very much. So
it was, I feel like there's so many birds we've done before that I haven't heard of, and I do like a deep dive, and we are looking at all these YouTube videos, and with the European roller, it was like there wasn't as much out there as other birds.
Yeah. I'm surprised, but yeah, it's true. I think they're, again, it's coming back to what Shannon was saying, because they are kind of sit and wait predators that I think they just, people don't get to see them in the way that they are in some of these pictures with their wings open and stuff. Yeah. And so they're underappreciated that way.
It takes too long.
Which is really surprising to me.
It depends on how long you have to sit there and wait with your camera battery draining before you get the video that you want. Because it was clear in one of the videos that I found that the guy who got the video was super duper happy. so it was clear this was a lot of effort to get to get this video. We have 82 of them in our collection.
Oh, wow.
So you could get a feast of blue if you opened the drawers that those birds are in. And that's the funnest thing about being in the museum, is just to randomly open drawers and take a look at what's inside. Yeah, because you never know what you're going to see. But there's always something to see.
Yes. All right, well, that might be a good spot to stop on this episode, unless there's anything else we want to cover on the European roller. No?
No.
Okay, well, we do have a mailbag question. So this is from Dustin Widener, who reaches out to us on Instagram. You should follow him. Chicago Wildlife Photographer is his handle. Mm-hmm. So he had some pictures of bald eagles recently. And said, I'd like to formally suggest a bald eagle episode. I'd love to hear about their comeback and their population movements, maybe getting into their fighting versus their aerial mating dance. And some of the pictures that he took were of them when they were in that aerial dance where it was two of them with their claws grabbed onto each other. I don't know how to describe it.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, well, they're a terrific bird, so it's a great suggestion, and we should definitely put it on the list because they've got a their own interesting story, obviously the symbol of the United States, because nobody listened to Ben Franklin.
They don't just live in the United States.
That's
that really
true.
Bugs me.
There are a few up in Canada.
Yeah, a few more than there are here. Yeah.
Right.
Sorry.
But let's American definitely put symbol. It on the list.
Yeah, okay. For sure.
Okay. All right, and then we'll do another round of our round-robin tournament.
Uh-oh. So
I'm getting down to the nitty-gritty here.
This is. This is who's going to go to the dance. So we have the woodcock against the purple martin.
Oh,
purple martin. I'll pick this time. I picked woodcock before, but I don't know. I'm picking purple martin.
I'm going with purple martin too.
This is very tough. Mm. I'll go woodcock.
I'm going woodcock.
I'm going woodcock too.
Oh!
The woodcock advances to the final four. All right, and then next is the Willard Sooty Boo Boo against the Shoebill.
Oh, my gosh. Tough. That's terrible.
Beat this bracket. I'm going with Shoebill.
What?
Oh, really, Jim?
You got it. It's number one seed there.
Sorry, Dave, but I have to go with Shoebill, right. Too.
Yeah, Shoebill.
Okay, Shoebill.
All right, Shoebill takes it down.
Okay. But don't make it that emotional next time.
Okay. All right. So the woodcock and the shoebill advance to the final four.
Wow.
So we'll have to see next week who goes to the championship.
Bye bye, woodcock.
Yeah.
did Shannon send you guys that video of the shoebill?
No, I haven't.
So.
Oh, well, she'll have to. She had a really neat conversation with this guy that is a videographer living in Uganda, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and his wife works on AIDS relief in Africa, and he lives there now. And so he's done all kinds of things, he's done journalism. And now that he's there, he's making these educational videos about things. And he did one on the shoebill, and it's really good.
Oh,
so,
cool.
And then he asked to talk to me about kingfishers. And it was right, the first time he sent an email was right after we were diagnosed with COVID.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I don't have, I don't, I don't have bandwidth for this.
Yes. Oh.
But then he reached out again, and I eventually looked at the Shoebill video, and I said, okay, well, I'm going to talk to this guy because this is really good.
Oh, awesome.
And so he said he does it really fast, and so he records you, but he goes out into the field, and so there's these really fun snippets of video that he took on his own expeditions to see a Shoebill. And so I'll let you know when the Kingfisher one comes out. But I really liked him.
Awesome.
So if he ever comes, if he ever comes back to Chicago, we should have him.
Yeah,
or something like this.
That'd be awesome.
So the place he went to see Shoebill is the place that I've been to see him.
Cool.
It's a place along Lake Victoria, outside of Kampala, Uganda, and Tebe, Uganda, and it's worth every second of it to go out in these papyrus swamps and see these incredible birds. And he's got some great video.
All right. Well, John, do you want to close us out on the European roller?
Yeah, I'm disappointed about Willard's Sooty Boo Boo, but I understand the Shoebill's dominance. And European roller, had it been in the mix, probably would have been an early round loss. And yet at the same time, I'm really glad we did it.
They have good defense, though.
They do.
So they vomit on themselves.
Good point.
Yeah, that is a good point.
I'll have to take that into account next
time. That's right.
John's changing his criteria. It's not just whether they can beat the crap out of something. It's whether you can vomit all
just
over
not,
them.
Not seeing the
crap.
Big picture. You got to analyze all the data.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Awesome.